Hey there, Star Wars Rebels fans. Welcome to another episode of the Star Wars Rebels After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 9, Rebel Assault. Guys, we got a great episode to talk about. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
We are in the final season, and this is the last episode we're getting for a little bit. So,
you
guys,
know, a month and a half.
You know, that kind of means we are in, dare I say it, the final countdown
say
a little bit.
In. Yes!
Dare I say, it's the final countdown!
Also appropriate. So many people in their final countdowns, it seems.
Yeah!
I'm scared for a lot of our friends.
Oh, man, the entire assault fleet, with the exception of three people, died. That was
awful.
Has
there been a sadder shot in Rebels? I don't think so.
We don't know that they all died, but we know that all the ships went down.
Yeah. Not great.
I just want to follow the adventures of little Timmy and his droid trying to escape. Like, we don't see them on the show, but they exist.
Well, let's not waste any time, guys. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T.
To her left, Joelle Monique.
Wait for it.
It's the final countdown.
That's so great. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. We're going to be keeping an eye on the Twitter hashtag ABTVRebels. And we are also going to be keeping an eye on the live chat. For those of you watching live, real quick, special shout out. There's somebody who's staying up to the wee late hours of the morning.
In the UK?
Reese Smart. All night or tonight.
Yes.
Staying up to watch AfterBuzz TV Star Wars Rebels.
Yes,
we appreciate you. My goodness.
Yes, you
get
are
some
fan.
Sleep after this.
Make yourself a cup of coffee. You never sleep again.
No, don't.
Choose your own adventure, man.
Live your life.
This is a girl who hasn't slept in so long.
I've been sleep deprived for 2 months. Don't say things like that.
Prefacing this, we're all a little tired and a little sleep deprived. Joelle just came back from a long trip and is a little jet lagged. Katie's a little sleep deprived and
a little.
2 months.
And I'm just fatigued with life. That's how it goes. Anyway, guys, what I'm not tired of is this show. And what I am kind of upset by is that, like, they jammed as much as they could in terms of, like, episodes into a couple weeks, and now we have to go, like, a month and a half before we get another episode.
Also, did anyone else feel like if there was ever a time for an hour-long, like, block of shows that this
was
it? I was like, what are we doing? This is not enough. I am still hungry for more Rebels. It was a problem.
Have you recovered from this 4 weeks? Are we good? Great. Here's a cliffhanger, and we'll see you in January.
I think January. I have no idea.
Yeah. I checked on Wikipedia, and the date for the next one was just listed as to
TBD.
Be determined. So, if anybody happens to know just off the top of their head and has a cited source about when the next episode is going to air, we would really appreciate
Send
that.
Send us your random dates.
Please. Yeah. Please do.
Price is Right rules. Closest without going over.
Closest without going over, for
Winner.
Sure. But for sure. So, and this is a little bit of a tangent right out of the gate, but I was actually talking to somebody about a completely different show, talking about Disney scheduling for cartoons. I was talking to them about Star vs. the Forces of Evil.
Oh, and, my God!
And their guest,
which is back on.
So, yes. Soon, right? The 20th?
We had a week's worth of new episodes like a week or two ago.
I watched a block of them, but it was like all season two stuff. I don't know. We'll find out.
But, I thought we had new stuff recently.
But anyway. The point being is that this person's guess was that they were trying to sort of, via television, sort of create that sort of binge watching experience, but via broadcast TV, which
I
doesn't
it
work
on my own time,
doesn't work as well because that's the nature of binge watching. And I can't help but think whether or not they're trying to do the same with Rebels. Like,
well, you also have to look at Disney's launching a new app, which is Disney Now, I think, right? Where they're going to have all of their shows and every movie that Disney's ever has. So it's all Marvel, all Star Wars, every Disney animated, every Disney live action. Yeah. to me, I think that if they're going to do it there, then we're also looking to see how can we make both work at the same time. I've been using the Disney Now app, and it's pretty
that's
great.
That's fair. So. I mean, and with talks about, maybe this is better safe for news and gossip, but I'm not doing that category right now. we're not doing that this episode. But with the potential merger in terms of purchasing Fox.
Mm. Isn't that on hold?
I thought that was canceled.
It's still being talked about as far as I can tell, but like even like the whole reason they wanted to do it wasn't so much to get the X-Men back for the MCU so much as it was obtaining IPs for the Disney streaming service because Fox owns a lot of movie IPs.
That's true.
And Disney pulled a lot of their or is pulling a lot of their stuff from Netflix for this new streaming site. So if they were to obtain Fox, it would be more about that than it is about the MCU.
That would be devastating to Netflix. If they lose all of... Because they already lost everything Disney. Like, it's about to happen. But to lose everything Fox as well would be... wow. Although,
but this is the point where channels don't understand what makes streaming services popular. Like, I don't want to have to pay for every single individual channel's streaming
this
service.
This is why
That's
Sling
why
is about
I
to be
Netflix.
Everything. Sling is about to just come in and slay everybody. They're like, oh, here are all of your live channels for $25 a month. Everyone relax. We've got you covered.
We got you. Anyway, that was a little bit of a tangent. But let's get to talking about this episode
yes,
in
please.
Particular. Jewel, you've been absent for a little bit. How are you feeling about this season as a whole so far?
Oh, man. Talk about finding strong stability within your characters, but also pushing them. And also, I really feel like Rogue One gave this show just a nice foundation with which to build. It's nice to know not just where we're going, but that we're building to something so epic, something that is kind of universally loved. Hera and Kanan are finally together, and they kissed, and I wasn't here for it, and it broke my heart, but I was like, finally! Oh my gosh, the love, I felt it. I feel like... exactly that part. We finally have, like, an adult Ezra, or a more mature Ezra, which I've talked about already, but continuing to see his growth has been really exciting. And Sabine's like a young woman now. Like, she was like a punk teenager, and now with the new color in the hair, it's a little darker, it's a little more mature. I really appreciate how we've built out this season, and it sucks that it's ending, but also, like, it's going to end on such a high note, and you know they're not going to keep Star Wars. I mean, they're not going to keep Star Wars off of Disney. Like, we're going to get a new show sooner rather than later, and he's going to set it up beautifully.
They were talking about a new show long before they announced that this was going to be the final season. So,
well, and we've got those shorts that are happening, the little animated shorts.
Oh, yeah, Forces of Destiny.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Thank you.
And I believe a live-action show coming soon to Disney. Did I read that earlier? Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited.
Reminds me, when we come back from the break, we should definitely talk about Forces of Destiny. No time to do it now. But
yes.
Also, I haven't watched them yet, so that would be very difficult to do.
Yes.
Lots of time.
So many TV things to watch.
But anyway, it's one of the things that's going to tide me over during this break. So
yes.
That's what I'm saving it for. So this episode opens up with straight up the assault on the blockade around Lothal. And it's something I was thinking about while watching this episode. I was like, really appreciate flight choreography in this show.
Yeah. Man, is it good and thrilling. They know how to build tension with just a fight, which is, I think, incredibly complex to do. And Hera's solo, like when she shoots off from everybody, amazing.
Well, and we also make the point that even if you have incredibly advanced technology, if your user isn't up to par, it does nothing. It's like giving your 95-year-old grandma a smartphone. It's a good piece of technology, but she doesn't get it. This guy's in the TIE Defender, I believe. I keep getting TIE Defender and TIE Destroyer.
The fancy
like,
one.
Wait a minute. The fancy one.
The fancy one.
And Hera just completely outflies him.
And way to use the X-Wing to its full, like, potential, too.
Yes.
Like, doing the closed wings to the open to show, like, create drag in space, which I don't know if that's a real thing. Air is not up there. But it was cool to see it.
I think probably my favorite thing about this was to show never defy a direct order from Thrawn.
Oh,
yeah. Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, my God, what an idiot.
What's he doing? Playing into Syndulla's hands. Open fire!
I mean, despite the fact that Thrawn is, like, a master, like, coordinator and he's very knowledgeable about fights, like, He will just kill you. Like, did you just say no to Thrawn? You're not a rebel. What are you doing?
The only reason you should ever say no to Thrawn if you work for the Empire is if you know that you've been made a pawn that he is about to dispose of. Then you can say no because you're gonna be screwed no matter what.
Or if you outrank him.
Yeah. If you are the Emperor or another high-ranking official, then you can say no to Thrawn.
If you're Darth Vader, you can say no to Thrawn. Totally fine.
Basically, the
you
list...
You would win that fight.
Yeah. The list of people who can say no to Thrawn is a very short list.
Yeah. The big bad and the dragon.
If you're not straight up in the rebellion. But yeah, this guy, just don't be that guy, man. Don't be that guy. But I really appreciated this, and it's something that I also really like. You can definitely see Kathleen Kennedy's influence, too, because we have other female pilots besides Hera.
Oh,
even when they get sadly killed, it's still like, you know what?
They were there.
They're there, and they're fighting the good fight, and it's awesome, and you treat them like you would any other extra soldier in this show, and that's what I appreciate.
Well, you know they initially had female X-Wing pilots in episode 4 in A New Hope, and they were completely cut.
They were completely
cut. But the footage
still
exists and can be found.
They were completely cut, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, it was so important having more female pilots in the newer movies, and why they will continue to be there.
I'm mad.
I know, right?
I didn't know this fact.
You didn't?
No, I was not aware that we originally had female pilots. I feel like as a kid who loved Star Wars, that would have been tops.
Yeah. No, they got left on the cutting room floor. But the footage is still out there, and you can find it. It gets passed around a lot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they actually overtly reference it in later movies. I would have to go back and double check that factoid, though.
I'm not sure about that.
I might be making that. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part. but yeah, it's. I can also attest to that. As a kid, that would have said a lot. Watching the original Star Wars. That would have been special.
But now we have Hera, and she kicks ass.
Yeah, not only is she a master, I think probably what I really appreciated about this aerial fight is not only is she an ace pilot with fantastic reflexes, but you really get to see how much of a strategic combat, like, pilot she actually is, because she's able to outmaneuver this guy so well, but not like in just a, you know, I'm gonna shoot it till it blows up sort of like more aggressive way. She outmaneuvers him and then destroys it, and it's so great.
Well, and it also shows that she's a solid leader. Like, they put her in charge for a reason, and we get to see that time and time again.
Yeah, although I will say that, like, seeing just that wall of TIE fighters when they actually
came. I was like, don't celebrate. Thrawn is calm. You fools. Like, they're like, yeah, we did it. I'm like, Thrawn is not upset. He is not starting to hit things aggressively.
They didn't know that.
They had no way of knowing.
I just, way too early for the applause. And then, like, I knew Thrawn was going to be prepared. I know he's going to be like 60 ships deep prepared. Like, there's nothing they could do at this point.
When he's like Xanatos Gambit prepared. There's a plan A, there's a plan B, there's a plan C. He's got a plan F back there somewhere. Like, he's got this.
I don't suppose you have a plan D. I don't know what that is. When he called for the second wave, I was almost completely expecting Hera to be like to immediately say take evasive maneuvers, like she would have been ready for. But you see the look on her face; this was completely unexpected.
She's shocked. Like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
And there's no way that you're going to win that fight, no matter how good you are, because sheer numbers.
Everyone would need to be a Hera level pilot in order to maybe make it out of there.
Well, and even she didn't.
Yeah,
it's a Zerg rush. You just throw a lot of low level. Whatever until
through sheer numbers you're gonna overwhelm them. It's not necessarily the most elegant strategy. It is a little bit more blunt, but you know what, it worked.
The elegant strategy blew up because its pilot decided not to obey Thrawn's orders. So
how, and Thrawn will not weep for you. How unfortunate. Open fire.
Like, well, you're a moron. Time to die.
We don't need morons.
We don't
in
suffer
Miami.
Morons in the theater of war. There
you well, go. And the other thing was prior to them getting through the blockade, he insisted to Governor Price, nobody's going to get through. Nobody's going to reach the surface of the planet. And so when they break through the initial blockade, he's like, well, this wasn't my preferred method. But I need to keep my promises. I am a man of my word. Throw literally everything we have at it.
It was, I don't think there's a more, as I said earlier, there's a more devastating moment than watching these ships fall, like, from the ground.
Yeah.
Especially because last episode they did such a nice job of setting up how important it was. They were like, and we've let her know you guys are running the ground crew. What? We get it, like, it's our chance to shine. Like, we're going to save Lothal, which is, like, from the beginning been the goal, is just protect Lothal. And so to see, like, all of their hopes and dreams kind of falling in what could potentially, like, from far away look like just a beautiful, like,
meteor shower.
Exactly, that thing.
It's the fleet! Oh, God.
It's over. Like, that, just devastating. But then Kanan launches into attack, and he's like, I'm going back for Hera. And I was like, yes!
I gotta go back for my lady.
Sexy bad boy motorcycle moment for Kanan. I was very excited about it.
God bless that wolf.
It's just like, we know that you're doing the emotional thing and that you need to go back, but this is like, no.
Mom is incapacitated. Dad needs to step up because crazy Uncle Zeb isn't going to do the job.
You know what this was?
What?
Empire Strikes Back. Yoda insisting to Luke, you can't go. You can't go to make this really emotionally driven decision. Yes, your friends are in danger, but if you go right now, that's the end of everything. And sure enough, that's what Luke ends up doing. Kanan, on the other hand, it's so funny, without the exposition being thrown at it, gets it. That's because that's the message that the Loth Wolves are giving him right now of, like, stop, think about what you're doing.
He's old and wise enough to listen. Luke absolutely was not.
Luke also hadn't really seen war yet, whereas Kanan's been fighting for so many years.
Well, and to be fair, also, Yoda didn't really give him very many reasons not to go. It was just like, don't do it.
Yoda is the double door so what of Star
if,
Wars.
Yeah, so what if your friends die? Don't do it.
I think Renji just kind of hit my button there. We basically saw a droid getting executed, but it's okay since it was a machine. Droids in Star Wars!
They're
not considered people, but we program pain sensors into them because that makes sense.
We did have a very human reaction of like, no, my friend!
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
And Hera apologized, and he's like, R3 would want to help. Like, they said goodbye to this little droid. They treated it like it was a fallen comrade.
I'm so sorry your friend is dead. We need to cannibalize it now.
gotta use it for the living one.
Yep. Need the parts.
Although that being said, Hera, you know, from the very beginning of the series, Hera has always treated Chopper not like a droid, but like a
people.
Yep, mm-hmm. Like a friend. To the point where she actually, we'll get to it, but like at the end of this episode, that was a get out of here, my friend, not like, you're a droid and, you know, you've got the plans, you need to go. No, it wasn't that. It was
go save yourself.
It was the BB-8. Don't worry, buddy. I'll be fine.
It's the angry family cat who still refuses to leave.
Roll off into the desert. It's fine.
Hashtag droid lives matter. Thank you, Justin.
Wow.
So Hera goes on the run, and I think my abs, as great as the aerial fights were, I think my favorite thing about this episode was just Assassin Rook going after Hera.
Rook scares me.
Rook is amazing. He's one of my favorite new characters.
Yeah, that's why he scares me.
We needed another Thrawn level, like, threat to them. Like, because Thrawn is upping at it, like, he's watching from afar, he's moving his troops, like, we have to build to a one-on-one moment with Thrawn, so it's nice to have somebody in the field with them that is just equally as, like, when Rook first starts sniffing them out, when he first comes across them and is just, like, not backing away, totally predatory, I was thrilled. But to see it in a city landscape now where it's one-on-one Hera's brain versus, like, all of Rook's instincts, essentially, man, that's real cool.
See, if Thrawn is the chess master, Rook is his queen.
Mm-hmm.
Can go anywhere on the board.
Yes.
Even though his name is Rook. There's a different
But that's those are limited, and you have to think sideways to use a rook correctly.
I mean, he's an assassin.
I'd say he's a little more versatile than that.
You weren't here for it last week, Joelle, but we were talking a little bit about Rook, how in the novels, he's actually Thrawn's bodyguard. So it's cool that they're bringing another character that has, you know, direct ties to Thrawn into Rebels.
I like it.
Yeah.
I wonder if as the violence and escalates and as... I imagine we're just going to see Thrawn eventually get outplayed in some way. I'm not sure how we're going to do that yet. It seems impossible, but one has to imagine that's the eventual outcome. I wonder if we'll see Rook become more bodyguard, less assassin, more come here and protect me. I wonder if we'd ever see Thrawn that scared. Oh, God, I hope so.
Rook might get taken out.
I'm also okay with this.
He's a terrifying assassin. But one thing I really appreciated, too, was as he's in the middle of this manhunt, we get to see Hera do grappling moves for the first time in forever. Like, because it's been a while since we've seen her do hand-to-hand combat.
I know! At first I was concerned. I was like, oh no, he's so close. And then Hera was like, I got this. I was like, I forgot you're a fighter too.
Because I know thought she was injured. That's what I was worried about. She was moving like she was injured.
She was limping when she was getting away from the initial crash site. I think she walked it off a little bit, but yeah, she survived a crash.
That adrenaline kicked in, and she was like, "Okay, got to do it."
And God bless the people in the Capitol. Just like, no, they're coming. You need to leave. Go that way. Nobody wants this, but we can at least try to save your life.
Because everybody in the chat has been talking about it for some time, guys. Yes, yeah, we did notice she's called General Syndulla in this episode, just like she is in Rogue One.
Hey,
and we're close.
We're so close. Very, very close. And
how many episodes do we have this season again?
I want to say somebody said 16, but I don't remember if that was correct.
For some reason, my brain's going 8, and I'm like, that's not enough.
That's what we
tell brain. No brain.
Oh, boy.
We already had 8. I'm losing my mind.
Andrew Gibbons says, did you really notice? Yes, guys. Yes, we noticed. It's one of the best things in the world is that she's General Syndulla.
Yeah, chat Justin says 16 episodes. 16, so
okay. Oh, I'm so sad.
7 left. So in that 7, I'm hope. Okay, so we got to see, oh my gosh, Forrest Whitaker's character. Why am I
Saw Gerrera.
We got to see Saw Gerrera get into whatever kind of accident causes him to have like a giant
I feel like we're either going to see it and it's going to be horrifying or it's going to happen off screen and they're going to be like, Saw Gerrera, what happened to you? It was a terrible story that I'll tell you at a different time.
Or someone will just say like Saw was incapacitated. He's no longer like no one knows if he's still alive.
Yeah, it'll just be like a throwaway little comment that's just kind of like a wink.
Yeah, I hope not. I really want to see it. I have questions.
You want the brutality of it.
Well, because I think
For kids.
we're in a war, you know, and I feel like we've done a really good job of exploring, like, I mean, in just a couple episodes ago, we're exploring, like, what it is to essentially sell your soul to a company, which is like a big idea for a children's show. So I think we can explore these big kind of wartime themes without going beyond, you know, their capacity for understanding or comfort level.
Not to mention, Katie, we saw people die on screen in this episode. In space.
This is true.
You explode in space, and that's how you die. That's how these X-Wing pilots die.
But we didn't show them getting mangled. You show the beginning of the explosion, and then you cut away, and you show the ship explode, and somehow that's less horrific.
That's better?
Andrew Gibbons in the chat says, maybe we don't see Saw again. I feel like Lothal is the focal point for the rest of the season. Show started here. Feels like it will end here. I tend to agree with you, except the show has been moving at an incredible pace. Like, we covered things I wasn't sure we would get to in the time frame in which we were allotted. So we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we shall. We shall indeed.
But in the meantime, we have a cliffhanger.
Boo. We'll get to that.
Are we surprised, though?
No.
like, are we at all surprised? Like, hey, we're going into, like, a 7-week hiatus? How do we want to handle this? Well, we sailed their ship last week, so now let's torpedo it and see how they react.
That's the, you know, planting and payoff in terms of, like, the actually getting to see them kiss, and like we know for a fact that bad things are going to happen in the wake of that, because the last thing you want to do is confirm a ship right before a giant battle. Guys, don't do that.
The only guarantee we have is that Hera will survive. Yes. Because we got the name drop in Rogue One. That is, well, and Chopper was in Rogue One, too. Briefly, yeah. Well, we saw him.
So was the ghost. Do we get to Rogue One, or is Rogue One like a brief battle we see from their perspective, which, please, God, and then we that move forward from there? Because I still feel like, I just don't know.
I would love for this series to end with the Rebels crew's, like, their mission during Rogue One. I would be okay with that. I would be content with that. I would also probably cry all of the tears.
So many tears.
But it's also possible that like, we could have a Rogue One and then have sort of a wrap-up with all, like, the Thrawn stuff and everything like that. There's a lot going on right now. So what I do want to point out about this cliffhanger, though, is Hera getting captured that's a huge deal. But what I loved about this, what I appreciated about this, what I really liked about the story beat of Hera getting captured is that in no way, shape, or form is she ever treated like a damsel in distress.
Never, ever, being even captured. For a second.
I feel like if the show had been made 10 years ago, 15 years ago, she absolutely would have been, like, treated like a damsel.
My conditioning for that kind of stuff kicked in real hard, because I was like, where is he? Come save her now! And she was like, no, I don't need saving. I'm a freaking general. Like, I'm going to save my crew, and then I'm going to deal with Thrawn in a one-on-one space. And I was like, this is so amazing.
Two stunningly competent female leaders meeting for the first time in this episode, and on opposite sides of this war, yeah, but we've been watching them both go and just being like,
yep, Governor Price and Hera actually getting to meet face to face.
This wonderful, awful little exchange.
And it was
so great.
So, like, you can definitely see that out of the two of them, they're both not to be trifled with, but out of the two of them, Hera will always have, like, I think the intellectual high ground, because what Governor Price does is she immediately goes to physically incapacitate her as her power play. She's like, we've got you, boom, as opposed to just doing what Thrawn would do and be like, well, the day is won. Let's have a chat. I'm going to dismantle you with my words.
I'm going to find out everything you're trying to hide.
Exactly. Which isn't what
Let's
Price
does.
Let's
have a nice conversation.
You can tell that, like, Price is just kind of trying to keep up with how quickly things are falling apart.
Yeah.
And again, it's not anything that, like, we need spelled out for us. It's just very clear in that action.
Especially since the ground crew was successful in their mission.
Indigo leader says, she had the high ground. It's over, Anakin.
Oh my gosh.
You did say moral high ground. Oh, I mean, you did.
Yep.
Left it wide open.
But yeah, I loved seeing the two of them meet, even if it was just like, oh, this is going to go really poorly for our side, but this is amazing.
I love that Hera runs back into danger to save just one crew member who we don't know at all. Not really. I think maybe we've seen him around, but
Mart.
Like, yeah.
Mart.
But we don't have an emotional connection to Mart at all.
I will all be honest. She knows, he's the last survivor.
That's true.
I don't know if we've met Mart prior to this episode. If we have, I apologize, guys. It's escaped my memory. But yeah, she was about to make her own escape, hears a distress signal, and immediately abandons her plans to just save herself and, you know, extract herself from the situation. She straight up abandons that idea and goes, gotta go find that distress signal.
She's a leader.
Mm-hmm. Gibbons in the chat makes a really good point of, like, so y'all had knocked out stormtroopers on the ground and no one wanted to take that armor, try to blend in, disappear. This is a classic Star Wars move.
One, not enough time. Two, how do you fit that helmet?
in terms of like Twi'lek headdress, headgear.
You know what? Mm. Stuff it in there. We have things to do. Like,
ow!
It's gone.
The shape of her head doesn't allow for it.
Ow!
Could you just like imagine like the helmet being on top of her head because she can't.
Just your chin's kind of sticking out. This is a new style. Deal with it.
Oh, evidently Mart was the kid who was related to Sato.
Okay, so we had seen him before.
According to Xehanorto and chat.
Okay, it was funny because I was actually wondering what happened to that kid. I was like, whatever happened to that kid? Guess we'll never know, and he's in this episode.
Not like we remembered. Like, you're obviously important to the plot.
Well, again, this shows a tremendous amount of growth for him, too. Because he was such a hothead, and here, he's actually a competent soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He listens, he takes direction, he's helpful.
We've had a time skip.
And it also kind of gives a little bit more subtext to Hera, you know, basically sacrificing herself to save him at the end there, because Sato is gone.
That's true.
He sacrificed himself for the sake of the rebellion, and now Hera kind of did the same to protect his legacy.
Emotions.
It's really good, guys. It's really good.
This episode, though, this was such a good episode.
It was.
It's my favorite episode in a long time, actually.
Really?
I think so. I say, like, in a long time. That's not really fair. But it to me, I thought it was built up nicely into the following season without having to be... it didn't rely too heavily on, like, operatic situations. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was great. It was grounded.
Well, last season was a lot of, like... angst and a lot of like personal drama, and we still have a lot of drama going on, but like kind of less of that. Like, it's still drama, but it's not melodrama, if that makes any sense.
It does.
It's not grand space opera drama. It's a little closer to home.
Yeah
And it's got me so pumped for the return. There's so many questions I have, but also just tactically, like, how are you gonna defeat Thrawn? Like, How are we going to do it? He knew immediately, showed up. He's like, oh, they're going to be headed this way, so we need to do A, B, and Z. And I was like, damn it. How are we going to get around this guy? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, guys, I feel like we covered a good chunk of this episode. Do you guys have any other thoughts? Because, like, my immediate knee-jerk, if we're not talking about story beats, the only other thing I want to talk about is the color contrast in this episode. Seeing the purple sky on a sunset Lothal, like, as again, the X-Wings are, like, flying down, I think was my favorite shot of the entire episode because it was just so gorgeous and tragic.
And as you mentioned before we got in here, Zeb and Ezra's little exchange on the bikes.
Oh, that was fantastic. Talking about...
hop on.
Yeah, that was great.
You go back here, sir.
Because it definitely showed, you know, Ezra's still this cocky teenager, but, you know, Zeb's not having any of it. And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for another Zeb and Callus episode.
It's a very much Cassidy and Sundance Kid moment, and I would really appreciate more things like that. That was great.
Yeah, especially because it's the final season. You want to make sure everybody gets their due. So again, any other final thoughts on this episode before we move on into some predictions?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's go ahead and delve into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So
I predict that fandom is going to go crazy during the hiatus.
I feel like that's a fair assessment/prediction.
I mean, not like Sherlock crazy, because that's a very long hiatus and a very crazy fandom, but a little nuts.
I predict a Hannibal Lecter-esque speech from Thrawn as soon as we return with him having captured Hera.
Absolutely. You guys go ahead and talk. I'm going to look up the name for the next episode. Because it's going to be a little bit before we get to it.
I was going
to
say, can you look up the air date for the next episode?
But like I said, I'm pretty sure on Wikipedia it's just TBD.
Yeah, Disney isn't going to tell us anything until probably after the holidays. They're focusing on Big Hero 6. Can't blame them.
Yeah.
Looks fun.
I'm in. I'm so excited to marathon Big Hero 6. Yes. Which I think they're doing that too. They're releasing like a block of episodes.
They're releasing a movie.
Oh, it's
going to
be great.
They're showing the movie, and then they're showing a movie, and then they're going into the...
That's going to be a great,
you know, a
day.
Movie to premiere the
I'm going to have a whole ice cream sundae that day. It's going to be wonderful. Somebody was it's predicting like in the chat night. That Sabine and Ezra are going to kiss when they come back.
No, thank you. Sorry, guys. It's not our ship.
I'm so wishy-washy about this ship because on the one hand, like, partners in war have fought for a long time, like grew up together. There's definitely like a naturally romantic essence about that that I could definitely get behind.
He's,
but
he's had a crush. So much of him just being like, hey, and her being like, not in any capacity interesting.
And
so,
for that reason alone, I kind of don't want it to happen. Like, yeah. Sabine's long-standing general disinterest in him would make a very strange turn for her character to all of a sudden be like, yes.
And him getting over the whole... Hey, girl. Hey,
but right. Part of like, his growth, oh, good. With yeah. Them, like, in I terms need to move of like, girl.
Yeah, there's more to fight for, and there's I feel like it would also kind of throw off the like family dynamic that they have established. The next episode is going to be called Allegiance. So if and ooh. There's no synopsis, there's no little tagline, at least on Wikipedia. So I'm guessing based on that, that's like we're going to have to team up with an unlikely ally in order to
the
go
wolves.
And save him.
I definitely
space
see
wolves, go.
Gonna go full Mononoke and ride him into battle.
I'm also predicting like a oh my gosh, all the names are escaping me tonight. But like the people of Lothal are going to have to come together to defend their planet.
Yeah, they killed old Joe. This cannot stand.
Yeah,
not old Joe.
The difference between a passive resistance and an active resistance, definitely. And I feel like at some point they're going to flip that switch.
Yep. I have a lot of thoughts, and what I'm looking forward to the most is a face-to-face conversation between Thrawn and Hera.
Yes,
because
another one.
Yeah, well, we got it last season, very early on last season, too. And then we also got it at the end of season 3 as well, when they had their big conflict was interrupted by the Bendu, which was fantastic. But it's been a while since they've had a face-to-face, and it's always sort of in this capacity of like, you know, Thrawn has the upper hand, you're in this, you know, you're taken prisoner, and it's going to be interesting because a lot has happened since the last time they were in the same room together.
Yeah. True.
Yep, so... That's what I'm looking forward to.
We don't have a lot to go on because they didn't show us the trailer, which I'm not surprised.
No.
No, I get it. I'm sure that there's a promo out in a little bit, but like, man, I want it now.
Fisterista 7 says, did Filoni say we will get a conclusion on the fate of Ahsoka before the end of the series? I believe in my Twitter scrolls, I saw that Ahsoka would be returning before the series finale.
Dang. Or at least that sort of bit resolved, because they purposely left it ambiguous as to whether or not she was about to die.
And the way y'all left it was not cool with me. What's happening? It's just basically like giant dome lowering on Ahsoka. What happened to her? I love Ahsoka. She's my favorite. So I genuinely hope we get a conclusion. Or at least... a next step for her.
Well, again, it's one of those things where, again, you getting closure from characters from Clone Wars. Like, kind of getting a conclusion for Rex would be nice, although, like, potentially tragic. Getting a conclusion for Ahsoka would be very fulfilling.
But if you leave those threads open, you can play with them
you
later
can do
in
more.
Different series.
And that's the give and take of it, is, like, do you prefer closure and everything tied up nicely in a bow? Or do you prefer open-endedness since we know more Star Wars content is coming?
I would be cool if we just saw Ahsoka, like, lightsaber light up on the battlefield briefly, you know? Or even be like, what is happening over there? Someone's single-handedly taking stuff out. And then you see her turn off her saber and walk away. I'd be like, okay, my girl lives. Like, that would be enough for me.
I'm just picturing, like, she saves Ezra. And he's like, Ahsoka, I thought you died. Shh. Nope.
Gotta go.
It's just
bye.
This very Simpsons-esque delivery of just, nope.
Don't tell the fans. I saw Ahsoka back there. It was really weird. And everyone's just like, what?
Weird. Or she's a force
shaking
ghost.
Shaking their TVs and crying.
She's a force ghost. And Ezra, there's no one there. What? Or actually, he sees her, and it's because he's been dead this whole time, and this whole series has been a Jacob's Ladder scenario.
Bum, bum, bum.
Spoilers for Jacob's Ladder.
staring at the rest of Star Wars canon like, how does that work, though?
We have a lot of... we have a very ensemble cast of characters that have been set up over the course of the past three seasons that are still kind of waiting to get resolutions on, or are sort of waiting in the wings for us to bring them back and do stuff with them, like Gina Torres's character. You know, we still got the Mandalorian stuff going on. There's like the Mandalorian stuff. You could leave it where it's at right now, but it's also still like, hey, that's a potential thing.
I kind of want them to be, because we got so much satisfaction with Mandalore. Like my heart, my cup runneth over with how much like building we did with Mandalore, and then knowing where Mandalore is a couple years after that, there's so many questions. You got to be like, leave that for the next one. Like there's just too much to explore before we get to the end of this. So I hope we don't necessarily go back there.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless it's Sabine specific, you know, something she needs to do.
Or related to her family specifically. Yeah. All right,
guys. I feel like we've pretty much hit everything.
I think so too. Any other final thoughts on this episode, on the season as a whole, and on what could possibly be to come?
Good
start.
See
you next year.
Good start on the first half. Looking forward to the second.
Yeah. Yes. I appreciate how serial this final season is being
so much.
It's basically like watching one chapter and then another chapter and another chapter. It's less episodic, and for a final season, that's exactly what you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like I said, I want more Kallus and Zeb stuff. I want them to go on a mission together. That's me. So I'm hoping that's coming on down the line. Just
Kallus and Rex joyriding in the ghost.
Yeah. I would also watch that TV program.
It's a very Ferris Bueller, like following those guys who take the car and just go on a joyride.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, if that's it, we're going to go ahead and call it. So again, during the month and a half break, please keep using the hashtag ABTVRebels so that you guys can you know, have something, again, to tide you over and give us something to tide us over while we are being deprived of Star Wars, at least until
December.
At least until a certain movie comes out. This little independent film. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but...
We already got our tickets.
Ryan! I'm so excited.
It's gonna be amazing, and I'm sure we're gonna have a lot to say about the movie when we come back as well. If you guys haven't already done so, please go to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on, and we will give you a shout-out on the show. I didn't have time to pull it up this time around, so we will give you a shout-out next time. Please keep in mind it takes iTunes a couple days to update, so please get those.
Leave it at some point during the hiatus, and we'll catch them all when we come back.
Exactly. So thank you guys so much. Joelle, where can people go if they want to find you?
Hey guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique, and every week at blackgirlnerds.com. Check blackgirlnerds.com very late Tuesday or early morning Wednesday. I was able to interview Ray Fisher, who plays Cyborg in the new Justice League movie. He's a super cool dude, and I had a lot of fun talking to him, so that'll be live there.
He's a very handsome man, too.
He sure is.
Katie?
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias, as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. All of my shows are back, and some of my shows are ending. Robots in Disguise, we have the series finale tomorrow at 7 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, we're going to have a party and try not to cry. It's going to be great.
I can't make that promise.
Yeah, that's the try part.
I'm Megan.
Ruby,
go ahead.
Ruby's back on Wednesdays at 7, too. Yay!
Woo! I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. Be sure to also check out Season 2 of The Shadow Radio Recreation, where I do the voice of Margot Lane. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. We will see you guys after the break.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
May the Force be with you.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.